radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Happy Friday, everybody, and Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. So we do have some updates from spring training for the Astros. These ones are not Cam Smith related, but Joe Espada just met with the media. Christian Walker is fine. The MRI that Walker went back to Houston to get showed no strain. And Walker feels really good. Sean Mapes is shaking his head. Why would you do that? You got to trust the Astros medical staff. When have they led us astray?
So many times. This is way too early to have to deal with the Astros injury nonsense because they flew him from Florida to Houston, Texas to get an MRI. And the MRI says he's good.
It's pretty crazy that they couldn't just do that in Florida, and it does make me wonder about the state of medicine in Florida. I actually had a conversation with my dad about this the other day, and my dad's a cancer survivor, and he's a psycho about any hospitals that are not located in Boston, Massachusetts, including here, which is the hospital capital
that is crazy.
Of the United States.
That's crazy.
And I get why, because he is of the belief that Mass General saved his life.
Yeah, I
get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But he lives in Florida this time of year, and he was thinking to himself, like, something he thinks he needs to get a checkup on. Yeah, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I'm back in Florida or in Boston to go get it looked at. I'm like, Dad, like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe get it looked at. So that's maybe why they sent Christian Walker, the Astros, back to Houston.
They consulted with Mr. Gallant?
Okay. Maybe. No, well, I just mean like they clearly don't trust doctors here. And I get it, but I don't trust their doctors.
Yeah, I don't trust the Astros doctor. Also, you can just have your doctors look at his MRI in Florida.
There's so many spring training facilities around one another, and you would think that...
Surely one of them has an MRI machine that you could
use. And also, don't the Astros share this with another team, too?
I don't know.
It's the Nationals, right?
Yeah, I forgot if they share if they're, like, in the same, like, two sides of the same complex or something.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, they're right next to the Nationals.
So, I mean, like, you both can't, you know, get some money for an MRI machine?
It's crazy.
I guess they really...
You think MLB would step in and like, hey, we're going to put an MRI machine in half of the Florida spring training sites. That way you can just, and then the teams will share them, basically.
Per Google, an MRI machine
probably
costs
so much.
$500,000.
That's
premium.
So much money.
That's a lot. That is more than most players.
That is so much money.
That is more than most players. Okay, I kind of get it now. Kind of get why they don't have one there.
Yeah. Even they have one in Miami. Like, they can go somewhere in Florida to find this.
He will be eased back into activities now that he has returned from Houston to West Palm Beach. But to what you were saying earlier, joking aside, that they sent him back to Houston
is worrying.
It is a little bit concerning, especially when you consider that Walker apparently has had oblique issues before. But oblique's a tricky one.
Yeah, and it is early, or at least for him, pretty early spring training.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be just be like a ramp-up soft tissue kind of injury where, you know, see a lot of hamstrings get hurt. You see a lot of just like, you're not used to this kind of activity.
Right.
So that could be it. But like you said, with his past with oblique injuries last year, it is worrying at any time the Astros do something, I guess, eyebrow-raising medical-wise, we're inclined to be like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to miss 3 months like Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, because that was a bruise that Tucker said was a fracture. Huh. Some more Astros updates. Man, Ryan Gusto strikes out Pete Alonso twice last night. He gets optioned.
Damn.
Tough game. Tough world. Lance McCullers, per Joe Espada, is, get this, really, really close, end quote, to getting into a game.
Oh, okay.
And he did throw today, and apparently he looked pretty good.
I was thinking that he was going to be really, really close, and it was going to be something nebulous that you can't really nail down. Like, he's really, really close to feeling 100% or something like that.
So close.
No, he's close to something that we can actually watch, maybe, if it's on the right day.
Yeah, we don't just get it from Brian McTaggart in written form.
Wow.
Brian McTaggart, okay. Letters home from West Palm Beach. We appreciate the letters he brings back.
Dearest people of Houston, it's been a long spring here in West Palm Beach.
My comrade Christian Walker fell ill the other day. I don't know what kind of accent I would use. I guess it would have to be like Confederate. So, like a little Southern accent. I do declare. No, that doesn't.
No,
sound
you
right
could do World War II. Those guys wrote letters too.
That's true. So
our good old boys.
This is constantly where we get the updates from. And Luis Garcia could throw live batting practice soon.
See that's what that's my comfort zone. Could do something soon.
Also, we got another McCullers update. Espada said the team will discuss McCullers next step. They believe he is, quote, on the verge of pitching in a game. So he's really, really close and on the verge after 23 pitches in a live batting practice this afternoon using the pitch clock.
I don't know. I think like next week we have to be on watch for he might appear in a spring training game.
Gotcha.
That's huge.
Gotcha.
Gosh. I can't believe there's only 20 days until Astros opening day. I could do this forever. This is so fun.
I know, right? Okay. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Someone asked, what happened to Joe George? Joe still works here. Joe George, who I jokingly called middle management Joe, is now upper management Joe. But he has some family things going on, and the guy does so much for the station that he wanted to make sure he had enough time to dedicate to his family. We had a lot of fun the past year. He's still a part of the station. Still get to see him just about every day. And we're hoping for the best for he and his family. Because, they need it. They need it. So send some well wishes their way if you can. It is Ask Gallant Anything Friday. There is something I want to touch on that happened not at our station while I'm thinking about this. So I don't know how many people know Adam Spillane. Adam Spillane is a old school reporter that's my age that has been working over at the flagship for about 12 years or so. This is a guy who you regularly see actually out there reporting on Astros games and Rockets games specifically. My favorite Adam Spillane moment is when, while I was hosting a radio show and then I dealt with food poisoning, Adam came in and did the rest of the show for me. I was doing it with Ted Johnson. The food poisoning hit me so hard that I legitimately was puking into a trash can and then went outside the studio and I was shivering. So the flagship let him go. It's one of those moves where I understand that our industry is shrinking by the day and that radio stations, TV stations have less and less resources. But I just think it's such a miss the way that we're going away from people in the market who have actual credibility covering the team. Like, Adam knows his stuff. I know my stuff when it comes to football. The other sports, I try to be entertaining talking about them, but I'll admit, I don't know what I don't know. Adam knows his stuff, and he's been there, and he has relationships with everybody in there. And I'm sure he's going to find another job. I just look at the flagship, and I wonder, like, what are they doing? I really think that. You have a credibility problem at that station. You got a guy that's a Kansas City sports fan in the afternoons. You got a newbie in middays. And listen, nothing against the people personally, but You got a guy like this on your staff who's been out there reporting on things, who knows what he's talking about, and you're like, all right, toodaloo, bye-bye. How does that make any sense? And I feel like we're getting a lot of that in this industry these days, and you're looking for big names, and, you know, take a look at the biggest stories in the NBA today. It's almost about the personality more than it's actually about the content, and you could argue, pose, that what you're all about. Touche. But I just think it's a crappy move by them. I don't know what they're doing. I hope we get to bring him in and use him, because like I consider him a friend. He's a good dude, and I think he's a great reporter. And I think we need more people that actually have credibility talking about the teams in town. You know, you got a lot of people who are essentially aggregators who, because they get huge followings, are looked at as insiders when they're getting their information from people that are actually out there doing the hard work, asking the tough questions, pointed questions. And we're moving away from the people that actually do that in favor of the middlemen for those people who are very good at the social media side of things. But it doesn't mean they're actually good at doing the things that, you know, the people that are actually boots on the ground do. And this is not me being like Big J journalism or anything like that. At least I'm not trying to come off that way. I just feel like this is a town that needs more people that actually go out there, show their face, and talk to people in the locker room. I try to do it more, and I will do it a little bit more with the Astros this season, assuming I can park in the parking lot, but that's neither here nor there. I just hate to see this, and I hope that this is not a trend that just keeps on continuing, because really, I think Spillane's one of the best baseball reporters specifically in town, but he also does a fantastic job with basketball as well, and people like that should be kept around instead of being like moved to the side as part of budget cuts while there's other people at that station and you're like, wait, what? Does this guy know anything about Houston? And it took me a time to get to that point. Like, I'll admit, like, when I first came on the air, like, did I deserve to be on the air? I don't know. I don't know if I did. Were there more credible people that I maybe jumped the line for? Definitely. But now I've been here for, what, like 13 years. And it's one of those things where, so is Spillane. And he was there for 12 years. I don't understand it. But this just might be where the industry is going. Anyway, that is Sean Mabes Behind the Glass. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. I'm on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
In with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I'm obsessed with these spicy dill pickle chips. No one cares about that, Paul. Stick to sports. Fine.
We're tired of the spicy dill pickle talk.
I'm sorry, man. I these Miss Vicky's spicy dill pickles are amazing. Had them the last 2 days.
I was going to say, back-to-back. I saw you end up, happy ending, got the chips. I don't know, what did it cost you $3 to get those chips?
The last 2 days it cost $3. It might have cost me $4.50 total for 2 bags of chips. Trump.
That's tough.
Thought you were going to bring the prices down. Why aren't they down? Anyway, you want to weigh in, you can at 713-780-3776 to call or text on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. This is a tough question from the 832. Does it get any easier? I'm likely going to get laid off for like the fourth time. What am I doing wrong? This almost feels like they're talking about me. I think the next one would be. No, the next one would be 3 for me. If it ever happens. Knock on wood. Never know in this industry. I don't know if it ever gets easier. I just had like the most disastrous date of my life last night. It wasn't even a date. You know, so I don't know. The only thing you can do is you just got to keep on getting up, keep on pushing forward. Can't let it get you down. And I mean, I'll be honest. There are a lot of times where I get down to the point where I can put on a great show, but I know inside, like, I'm struggling. But that's life, man, you know? And I'm sure that you will end up finding something else on the other side. Maybe it'll be something that you actually enjoy doing better. So best of luck to you on this Ask Alone Anything Friday, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Speaking of getting laid off, Shaq Mason cut by the Texans today. They also traded for Christian Kirk yesterday, did some salary cap restructuring with Azeez Al-Shaair, brought back Kurt Heinisch. So now the big question is, all right, what do the Texans do next? How much have they taken care of, and what is next for them? Offensive line, they got to get a veteran. They got to get a veteran. And I do still roll my eyes at the fact that Joe Tooney could have been had for a fourth-round pick that's not even in this year's draft. Two-time All-Pro. Literally the Chiefs' MVP. Sorry to beat a dead horse, but it would be nice if they had gone and got that guy. I think that the best possible trade the Texans theoretically could make for an offensive lineman, and they're going to have to sniff around to see who theoretically could be cut in the coming days. I think what you're going to have to do is look for people that might get moved on from and say, you know what, we're just going to roll the dice on this guy. Because there will be some cuts. And I would imagine, just given the state of the offensive line in the NFL these days, that you don't really want to wait for these guys to hit free agency because there might be some sort of bidding war. I know there are some veteran free agents already available, but people are desperate for good offensive linemen now. It really feels like offensive line play has just gone in the crapper ever since we moved away from full padded off seasons where guys are actually hitting the hell out of each other. I think young players need that when they come into the league. They need to have somebody going up against them 100% all the time so that they can work on their form, their craft. And you just don't see that in the offseason at all. And I get that the NFL Players Association fought for that in the collective bargaining, and injuries can happen if you go full contact all the time. And it's brutal over a period of 5-6 months or so in an NFL season, some of the stuff that they used to have to do in the trenches. But line plays worse. Veteran offensive linemen that can be had are at a premium with that in mind. And I'm not saying you got to trade like a fourth, fifth, sixth, like round pick, more than that, to go get a guy. I'm just saying, if you're the Texans, if you're Nick Caserio, you got to be sniffing around, looking at contracts that seem like they would be likely to be moved. Make phone calls and see if you can bring in some offensive linemen that perhaps you have scouted a few times and think are good. I don't know any off the top of my head. I wish I did. I really do. That ain't my job. But by Monday, I want an offensive lineman. I want the Texans to have traded for some sort of offensive lineman. I don't think that the free agency alone, like, you might end up overspending. And something needs to be done. Like, it can't just be the draft. Over the course of the next week, I better see something. We all better see something, especially if you're moving on from Shaq Mason. You know it's a problem. You fired the offensive line coach. You fired the offensive coordinator. It can't be just those two guys. Like, I wish it was that convenient that moving on from two coaches who are the biggest boobs of all time, like, say that was possible. I really wish it were that simple. It's probably not. You got to find good offensive linemen, guys who have played in the league. So make it happen, Nick. Pick up the phone. Make some phone calls.
I think we're going to be the show that, while everyone else, and at least everyone else on Texans Twitter, is fantasizing about what
another
wide receiver they can sign, Devontae what wide Adams. Receiver they're going to draft.
T.
They're
Higgins. Having...
Yeah, Luther Burden highlights are on my Twitter timeline. I think you and I, we're going to be the ones being like, we need some jersey edits of some guards. We need some center talk. What did the center big board look like this year? Not just in the draft, but we need one in the tampering period. We need the one that happens suspiciously early in the free agency starting, where it's like, oh. What? They really hammered out this deal very fast. Like, we need Nick Caserio already on the phone working on getting an interior alignment. Because I think that the tackles, I mean, the left tackle is set with an actual good player with Laremy Tunsil.
Right.
Right tackle, I think, is set just in the fact that you spent a second round pick on Blake Fisher last year. And I would assume that you plan on starting him this season.
I would think so, too.
The three guys in the middle, whether I don't know, is it?
I don't know if any of them deserve to be on the roster next year.
Exactly. You can tell me any of those three guys can get replaced. We already saw one. It just
Shaq
got
Mason,
cut.
Right. Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson.
Slash Jarrett Patterson. I think my goal, if I'm the Texans, is that I am only starting one of those guys next year.
Yeah.
If it's Howard, sure. I have some questions about how much he's getting paid to play left guard. But
that needs to be addressed. And yes. Honestly, that's the only reason that I think he is still on the roster and that we haven't seen anything about his contract is that he has that versatility. Continue.
Exactly. And then you're talking about Scruggs or Jarrett Patterson. It's like both of those guys have had moments where they seem fine.
Yeah.
But I think at the very least, even if you want to say Patterson last year was good at center, still think you can improve off that. And so you're really looking at this interior and thinking like, so can Scruggs maybe be the right guard and you cut Tunsil and then find a center or restructure Titus and then fill in those next two spots. That's where I think the Texans need to decide, A, what can they do and what do they prefer to do?
I will say they're off to a good start. I like the Christian Kirk trade.
Yeah.
They're going to have to, I would imagine, restructure that contract. You still have to give Derek Stingley an extension. I wonder when that happens. You got plenty of time to make that happen, but it's definitely going to give you a little bit more flexibility the sooner you do it rather than later. You're seeing some of the restructures already happen. But this is the priority, and I want to see something by 2:30 p.m. next Friday, the 14th. I want an offensive lineman here, at least one, if not two. Because in the draft, you never know what you're going to get. Like it's just hard to draft offensive linemen, I think, more than anything. And how many guys have we seen that are first-round picks or mid-round picks for the Texans not work out? I mean, the last really good offensive lineman that the Texans drafted, off the top of my head, just excluding Titus Howard.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might be Titus Howard in 19.
I think it's Brandon Brooks. Remember him?
Yeah. Brandon Brooks was good.
He was good.
He was good.
But he had issues with like puking and stuff. And then he went on to the Eagles. And I think he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Yeah. But Brooks was good. And I think he was a third-round pick. But, I mean, Xavier Suafilo in 2014 at the top of the second round. And the Pac-12 had this situation where any player drafted from the Pac-12, they would report to the NFL later if they graduated or something. Really bizarre. Bizarre thing that I think he probably Xavier Suafilo should have gone around, but Xavier Suafilo, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs to this point, Nick Martin at center. There's been a lot of offensive linemen that have been in and out that they drafted, and like they haven't really been able to develop any of them. Like Dwayne Brown was homegrown. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2009.
That was, 2009. So I am struggling to believe that they're going to find that guy in the draft. I want at least one, if not two guys, by next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Ask Alon anything Friday. You can ask me any question. Someone texted in, Paul, where are you going to take your date tonight on? Because that's part two of the date update. I do have a date tonight. Someone suggested Maven Coffee. Should I do it?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure
I've never been to Maven Coffee.
I'm sure it's fine coffee.
I wonder if it's nearby. Maven Coffee. Is Maven Coffee in the Galleria area? Because I'm really feeling lazy right now.
Coffee and cocktails. Maven.
It's just on the Allen Parkway. Huh. Okay. Well, we might have to work on that. But that is definitely an option. You know what? If I try Lance McCullers coffee and it's good, can we, I don't know, like give Lance a break? Can we give Lance a break? Can we stop calling him? Someone texted in, like, Lance McBarista with oat milk. Come on. What are we doing? More texts on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Ryan Lost in Texas is asking a very mean question about Sean on the Twitch at ESPN 975.
I know.
Ryan asks Paul, does Mapes smell like patchouli and weed? What's patchouli?
I don't even know what patchouli is.
Is it like Italian food? Sean does not smell like weed. I could confirm this. I haven't sniffed you recently.
Thank you.
I haven't sniffed you as much as I used to, but, you know.
It's a plant oil.
It's a plant? Okay. What is this like the oregano that people get sold when they're getting robbed, essentially, with a weed purchase?
Let's see. Warm, rich, enveloping, earthy, even chocolatey smell.
Oh, that smelled bad. That almost smells like coffee.
Yeah.
All right. He's Sean, up, Paul. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Some thoughts on the last segment. We were talking about the Texans, their offensive line. They do need to add some parts. One texter says, we're supposed to be adding offensive linemen, not losing them. Shaq Mason is not a loss. Shaq Mason is no longer the Shaq Mason he was with the New England Patriots. Sometimes it just leaves you real quick. It's one of the unfortunate parts about the NFL. He was good with the Patriots. He was, I think, good, 23-24. But the offensive line was a catastrophe last season, and I just can't buy into the idea it was all on the coaching. It would be so convenient. But I think they're going to need to add some personnel, and I'm glad that they have at least looked at Shaq Mason's number on the books and said, we are not paying this, but they do have to find some replacements. Another texter, Jared Patterson is awesome. He is your center. Quit talking about him like he's not awesome. Awesome. Awesome is extreme. Now, I'll admit, when it comes to centers, I'm not sure I know 100% of what a center is supposed to do. And I know in this offense, at least with Bobby Slowick, the center is responsible for a lot more of the offense than you would expect a center to be. But I don't know team to team like what the responsibility is of that guy. For what it's worth, it did seem like things were more functional with Jared Patterson in that spot. But awesome when you're constantly missing stunts. It is on the guy who's in the middle to communicate that to everybody if you think it's coming and to pass people off. So I don't think you can call anyone on this offensive line, including Laremy Tunsil, awesome.
Yeah. If you want to hit me with the Jared Patterson, solid.
Solid's a good word.
I could do solid. I could do, hey, you know, if we're just marking along of you have a left tackle, you have a right tackle. If you want to say that you're willing to bet on Patterson, you have a center, you just need two guards. Again, I'll listen. But yeah, like you said, awesome. I would hesitate to give that tag to anybody on the Texans offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Free agency. Give me two. Utah, give me two. Kind of want a meatball sub now, but it's Friday. I can't have meat. Can't have meat.
Gosh, I really... Meatball sub sounds great.
Meatball sub would be dope right now. Point Break, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
It's a random line from that movie where Gary Busey
wants Keanu Reeves.
Tells Keanu Reeves' character to get him two subs.
As
on a stakeout.
As he's parked at the front of the bank as the dead presidents are robbing it from the back.
Correct.
Not great police work by the Buse.
No, man. No, and he and Keanu get into it a lot in this movie. Gary Busey, what
feels good, doesn't it? Feel alive. Great movie.
I think I might watch that.
I
one.
I am an FBI agent.
That's a good Keanu. I didn't know you had that. That's a good one to have in the bag of clubs. We might need to do a segment with interviewing Keanu Reeves about certain things. Okay, it's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question. I'll work it in. If you want to talk about Cam Smith, you can too. Cam Smith's been awesome. And he's not going to make the opening day roster by all accounts, but I am very cool with gaslighting the Astros into thinking they need to bring him aboard. But remember, what he's been doing has been going up largely, not always, but largely against minor league pitching. That said, he had 3 hits last night and is hitting 600. If he is sitting 600, check that, nearly 700, at the end of spring training, I mean, the Astros have no choice. But is that going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. If he hits 700, we're talking like this is the next coming of Barry Bonds.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he hits 700 and he plays consistently for the rest of the spring.
Yeah.
Cooperstown needs to start working on his bust.
Right. Holy crap. Yeah. By the way, I saw Barry Bonds weighed in on himself the other day. He said, yeah, I can still hit 100-mile-per-hour fastballs. As long as I can see him, I can smoke him. He didn't say that last part, but he was basically implying it.
I don't know if I believe. I think it's a case of if he knew it was coming. Like, if he know 100-mile-per-hour fastball is coming, I think Barry Bonds probably could still hit it. As long as it's straight and he can start his swing early enough.
Give the man a little HGH and let's put him in the batter's box. Why hasn't he been with the Savannah Bananas? Why not? What are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
Why hasn't
they had Clemens out there?
They've had Clemens out there before. I'm sure Bonds would love to one more time.
Just hit a tank.
The guy's an egomaniac.
McGuire?
Yeah. McGuire would be fun too. Get all the steroid guys out there, except for Jose Canseco. That guy can kick rocks.
Yeah. I'm good with no Canseco.
I'm Canseco'd out.
Yeah.
But everybody. Oh, yeah.
Sosa. Do you see Sosa back at back with the Cubs?
Does he look.
He looked just like he was in his playing days.
Wait, really?
An older version of him in his playing
days. Oh, that's good, because, yeah, the skin thing
doesn't look
concerning.
Like a vampire anymore.
The skin, yeah, the vampire era was a little bit concerning. Yeah, I did not know Sammy Sosa looks like Sammy Sosa again.
Yeah, he looks decent. And he was out there, and I always think this. It goes back to Barry Bonds when he was a hitting coach for the Marlins, where Sammy Sosa was, like, giving advice to some, like, double-A guy that I've never seen before. And I was sitting there thinking, like, Sammy Sosa was such a great hitter that I'm not sure if he's actually would be a good coach like Barry Bonds when he was a Marlin. I think Christian Yelich talked about it where Barry Bonds would give him advice of like, well, if you see this, if you're setting up for a certain pitch and you see it's a different pitch, what you do is you just like realize it and change how you're swinging kind of halfway through. And Christian Yelich looked at him. He was like, yeah, Barry Bonds, you can do that. I can't do that. that's just something I cannot do. And I always wonder with these like awesome players, and they're like, why don't you just do this? And it's like Sammy Sosa giving advice to a 19-year-old, being like, here's how I'd hit it.
I saw the picture you're mentioning. That's from a couple of days ago. Yeah, that looks like Sammy Sosa again. And he said that in the past he had been whitening his skin. There's an article, the first article that came up on a website called TheRoot.com.
Sorry.
The first quote from Shannon Sharp, man, Sammy looks like the Wayans brothers, the white chick. Damn, unk. That's crazy. But anyway, it would be great to see all of those. Would Jeff Bagwell, Jeff Bagwell's shoulders are all screwed up.
Also, he should not, just to defend him. He should not be at steroid night that we just made. The Savannah Banana
That's
steroid
true.
Night.
That's true. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Be there.
We need to separate him from
that. But Piazza could be there.
Piazza? A-Rod?
Yeah. I mean, you could almost build out an entire... Like, left field, you have Bonds. Right field, you have Sosa. Third base, you have A-Rod. Catcher, you have Piazza. Like, you're
Shane
almost
Ken
the way there.
Passed away. Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of options.
Grady Anderson can play center.
Grady Anderson. Wait, wasn't it Brady Anderson?
Brady Anderson.
Brady Anderson had that wacky stance.
That one.
He held the bat over the plate before the pitch came. It was very weird looking.
And that 50 home run year, just in the middle of like being a 20 home run guy. Yeah.
It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Here's a question. This is a good one. From the 832. Does it bother you that while your show is good, there will never be another afternoon sports radio show as solid as the Blitz? R.I.P. Fred Fowler. As solid. You got to give it a higher term than that. You know, we're talking about solid with Jared Patterson. You know?
It was better than the Jared Patterson of radio shows.
100%. Okay? Now, that's what longevity does. Like, that's why people love John and Lance. They've been doing it for a long time. This is just speaking as somebody who knows a little bit too much about the industry and has his own thoughts on it. When you have two people that you have been listening to on a daily basis for a long time, you should keep having the two people that you've had on a daily basis for a long time, assuming that they are good and assuming that they have an audience. The Blitz clearly had a huge one, you know, with both AJ and Fred. I'll admit, I didn't listen to as much of it because when I was working over at the flagship, I tried to only listen to us if I was listening to us. And if not, I would be listening to podcasts at 1.5 speed like a psycho. I always was a huge fan of JNR in the afternoons. That was Josh Innes and Rich Lord. They were so opposite that it worked. And Josh brought a lot of drama to the table because Josh would get worked up with Rich about things. And Rich played off of him great. And there was a moment where that show, from a ratings perspective, had numbers that no sports radio show in this city will ever sniff again. So I always liked that. But that's a show that ultimately didn't have that much longevity. The Blitz had it. John and Lance have it. And that certainly adds to it. And I would just advise anybody, if you have a long-running radio show, you should keep the long-running radio show going as long as you possibly can. You really should. And a lot of places don't like doing that. And then one person leaves, or there's a split, and it just doesn't end up being the same thing. I'm envious. I mean, I have had, now that Joe is in a more of a behind-the-scenes role, upper management, we've been joking, but he does so much there, here it basically is. I'm just thinking about it. I mean, my first co-host, he was my co-host for almost 2 years, Brian Straw. My first producer, Josh Beard, that was a year. My second producer, Ryan Rocket, that was a year and maybe like 3 months or so. Then I got moved into the mornings with Mike and Seth. That was a year. Moved to Seattle, had a co-host and then a solo show after being the co-host with Danny O'Neill, who was doing it from New York. So that always made it a little bit tough because we were doing it over Zoom. And then back here, and I mean, it's been with Vanessa, by myself, with Joe, by myself. I would kill for the longevity that all of these shows have had. And I don't know if that would necessarily make me on the same level as The Blitz. Probably not. You know, like, I'm an egomaniac, but I don't know if I'd be able to do something like that for a decade. But one of the things that does bum me out is that, like, I just haven't had that. And it's so much change. And I've always felt like I work really well with other people. Maybe that's the commonality that no one's ever told me. No one's ever had the heart to tell me, like, Paul, you suck. You suck, you son of a bitch. But that's what helps. It was a hell of a show. There's no denying it. I still have people that ask me about, like, hey, man, thoughts on The Blitz. That, I think, of all shows in Houston that are no longer running, it's probably the one that's discussed the most. So, tip of the hat, and pour one out for our guy Fred Fowler and for AJ as well. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975 from the 832. Paul, thoughts on the women that got nude on the Southwest flight from Houston to Phoenix? LOL. Well, on the other side, I guess we'll take a look at those women. We will investigate them for the strong, powerful, independent women that they are. We will. We will do that. And a little garbage time before we get out of here. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975, 92.5. Stay put.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, before we turn things over to the Killer Bees. You know, I'm about to do something that you can bet your bottom dollar that paid Coug enthusiast Jeremy Branham won't. He won't do this. He doesn't care about the Cougs the way that I do. So, guys, Get ready. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, University of Houston. Happy birthday to you. 98. Woo!
Wow, 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 Cougs. Wow, wow, wow.
Go Cougs.
Were you trying to do happy birthday, Mr. President? Or
yeah.
Or did it just slip into that?
No, I was trying to do that.
Okay,
was it not sexual enough? I can do it again if you want me to get a little more sexual.
I think we have to pay whoever wrote happy birthday.
Oh crap, you're right. Am I supposed to do it like at the way those restaurants do in the awkward
happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what my favorite alternate edition of happy birthday is. I think it's the one that they do at the Outback Steakhouse. Another place I haven't been to in a while.
That is a good one. Joe's Crab Shack, didn't they do like, it was like Austin Powers music or something?
I don't know.
This might have been my time of going to Joe's Crab Shack as a child when Austin Powers was hot in the streets.
I don't think I've ever been to Joe's Crab Shack.
Yeah, they fell off pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the lasting staying powers chilies.
I have a couple of texts also that just to clean up from the 409. Caught the ass end of that segment. Did AJ die? No, AJ Hoffman did not die. No. Just someone asked about the Blitz. Unfortunately, someone texting in, Fred did pass away. His service was a lot of fun. It was very cool seeing all the people that have listened to him over the years and, you know, done malort with him. Weighing in on that man. What a legend he was. Definitely of all the people in Houston's sports radio, like the most Hunter S. Thompson adjacent.
Yes.
The man had fun and he did lots of cool stuff. So pouring one out for that guy. All right. It is 2:53. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So it came to my attention that a woman stripped naked and walked screaming down the aisle of a Southwest flight from Houston to Phoenix. Gotta say, as far as plane incidents go, this is one I'd want.
Yeah.
This is, I don't want to land and to flip over and, you know, catch on fire personally or collide with a helicopter. I would like to have this be the incident, assuming it doesn't make us turn around. The Houston Police Department said in a statement to NBC News on Thursday that it received a call at 3:30 Central Time Monday that a passenger took off her clothes on a flight and was causing a disturbance. The woman was removed from the flight and transported to the Neuropsychiatric Center at the Harris Health Ben Taub Hospital in Houston for medical evaluation. No charges filed. Her name was not released. Two anonymous passengers said the aircraft had just started taxiing when the woman, still fully clothed, walked to the front of the plane and started yelling. It was uncomfortable and scary. I remember her saying she wanted to get off the flight. The woman yelled she was bipolar, began hitting parts of the plane, and yeah, she got naked in front of a bunch of kids. This is one of those stories where, okay, the person's dealing with some issues. Could be that. It also could be the person was on drugs.
Yeah. Drugs or mental health would be a fun game.
Do you want to play that? This new weird game that's sweeping America. Drugs or mental health.
Hi, I'm your host, Kanye West.
You know, he needs a job.
Yeah.
And just Kanye doesn't even do the game show. He just goes on like a seven-minute monologue like he did at the end of Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. Every show starts with an uncomfortably long monologue.
It sounds like a Tim Robinson, I think you should leave skin. I'm in. I'm in on this show. All right, we actually might need to do that. Now, here's your host, Kanye West. I could work on a Kanye impersonation. No, minus all the things he said.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And swastikas.
It's a tough it's a tough bit to do because everything that we would jokingly mention, like what would Kanye talk about, would immediately get us fired.
Oh boy. People are asking me to judge the appearance of this strong, powerful, independent woman. Every video that's posted is blurred out.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that you can't post this to social media without your account getting banned. Although Twitter, you could just post porn now.
Yeah.
So maybe Twitter's where I got to take a look at this for further investigation. But alas, guys, that flight, not so good. What else do we have here in garbage time before we get out of here? All of a sudden, my computer's freezing up. That's no bueno. Cam Smith, he rules. Christian Kirk, he's a Texan. Brendan Rodgers, he did cool things last night. An Alaska airline flight attendant was fired for posting a twerk video to TikTok. We can't play the clip. Just know that this woman sucks. She sucks. So she had just gotten essentially her training wheels taken off as a flight attendant. And she was like, yes, I was just so happy and I wanted to get ready for the flight. And I decided to just get myself energetic to post a video to me on TikTok of me twerking my large buttocks.
Yeah.
It was such a bad video. Like, here's the thing. It wasn't even good twerking. It was like half-assed twerking. If you're going to twerk, full twerk. And now you can migrate at least into an OnlyFans or something after the fact.
Yeah.
This wasn't done well enough, and now she's crying and calling victims.
Worst of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. So not a good day for the airlines out there. But it was a good day on the Paul Gallant Show. Tonight's day, got to be better than last night's situation, which wasn't even a day. It's just awkward, terrible, garbage. But big thanks to everybody who tuned into today's Ask Gallant Anything edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to all our listeners, to our YouTubers, our Twitchers, texters, and callers. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Until Monday, peace!
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.